This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
A new thing that is on the Potato Commission's website that I don't remember talking about before is the Big Idaho Potato Hotel.
Oh.
You know that 6-ton potato that they used to drive around on a flatbed truck?
Look. You're making it very hard not to go to the bull site right now, but please go ahead.
Okay. So you remember, they used to have, like, it was like the Wienermobile, but they had, like, a giant potato.
Yeah.
So they have, I don't know if it was, like, decrepit and falling apart or if they just retired the truck idea, but they have turned it into a tiny hotel.
The potato itself?
Yes. The, actually, you know what? If I give you the website link, it doesn't show the tab for the thing I want to show you guys later.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and let you see this. You will be happy to know that it is the potato itself. The 28-foot-long, 12-foot-wide, and 11.5-foot-tall potato is firmly planted in an expansive field in South Boise, the only potato hotel in the world.
How do they know that?
Fair enough.
Also,
it has air conditioning.
This is not a hotel.
It's a tiny hotel.
It's an Airbnb.
Well, yeah, but that's a hotel.
No, it's not.
You want to tell the Idaho Potato Commission what is and is not a hotel?
If you say the words, I've built a potato hotel, I'm envisioning a place where there's a front desk and there's bellhops and there's a restaurant, you know? Like,
we were sitting next to a millionaire.
Ryan.
Is your contention that it should be a motel?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Ryan, I don't know if you have legal definitions here based on Idaho's
I'm going to look it up now. God damn it.
Idaho's definition of hotel.
Idaho's the state where they have an Airbnb that's a giant dog you can sleep in.
Wait. What?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Okay, first
like the Trojan horse?
Mm-hmm.
Bacon, please.
Okay, we're on. Here we go. Definitions.
Idaho hotel definition.
Ah! Aha! Vindication!
Oh, shit. Set your source.
All right. Title 39, Idaho Statutes.
Oh, shit.
Chapter 18, Hotels and Food Vending Establishments, Regulations and Inspection. Definition as used in this chapter. 2. Hotel means every building or structure kept, used, maintained, or advertised as an inn, hotel, or public lodging house, or place where sleeping accommodations are furnished for hire to transient guests, whether with or without meals, in which more than 10 rooms are used for the accommodations of such guests.
But,
this does not have 10 rooms for guests.
But it has room for 10 potatoes.
That is not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the same thing.
Potatoes are guests. Do they live there?
You're saying potatoes have a legal right not to be evicted from a hotel without from a potato hotel?
At a potato hotel, they do.
Yeah.
I will not be bowed. The law is on my
Yankee
side.
Bullshit.
I just posted the link to the about the giant dog that you can sleep in Idaho for $163 a night, which to me feels like stealing.
I don't want to go in the big
from
dog.
From whom? Stealing in which direction?
This is the most insidery article possible because, like, all the bullet points have everything I possibly... Like, what more could this article say?
All right, so it's the Axios cover this.
Like a dog.
So, the chat with Dr. Potato thing is no longer an email list, is the bad news. The good news is the chat with Dr. Potato feature on the Idaho Potato Commission website is now an AI chatbot. Mm. So I'm going to tell him this hotel is illegal.
And Shutdown Book has general counsel. Ryan Manny demands that you stop calling this a hotel.
I mean, the last time we did this, we called the Trump voter fraud hotline. And that worked out pretty well.
That's true. 10 Hi rooms. There. That's all you needed. Did all you needed know? Was to make this miserably uncomfortable. And then it could have been a potato hotel.
Hotel is... Well, Ryan, how should I phrase this? Is illegal?
Is fraudulently described.
Fraudulently.
It's also on Airbnb. Like, they literally put it on Airbnb.
You can put 10 potatoes on Airbnb.
You can't put hotels on Airbnb.
Dr. Potato says the Big Idaho Potato Hotel was once the spud that traveled around the country with the Big Idaho Potato Truck for 7 years.
Ryan, my client, the Idaho Potato Industry, would like you to know that you can put anything on Airbnb. Just watch.
Fraud. Sorry, I was unable to find an answer to your question.
Much like delicious potatoes, I will find myself buried underground if I keep this up.
He did redirect me to my favorite part of the website, the Ask Dr. Potato advice column.
The Potato Hotel has 598 reviews on Airbnb.
Sounds like a hotel to me.
And they're all extremely good.
Mm-hmm. Are they like, this is the best hotel?
This was truly a fun and wonderful experience. We loved everything about the Big Idaho Potato. Okay, so I guess what this is now raising is what controls the law, which says this is not a hotel, or the electorate by whom the law is derived, who say
eventually,
it is a hotel.
Eventually common law and developing language will just, I mean, eventually the law can say whatever it wants. But
my potato has large lumps in it. And after baking and mashing it, the lumps are not going away. What is this?
Is this about the hotel? I hope it is.
Oh, my God. Can I cook raw meat in an already baked potato?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
No, thank you, but yes, you can.
I can't, but you can.
First of all, you may. In the sidebar, Dr. Potato isn't a real doctor, but a team of potato experts ready to answer all your potato questions.
Well,
here's the answer to this question. We get many food safety-related questions. While Dr. Potato's expertise is not specific to this area, it only seems to reason that raw meats should be cooked separately in order to reach a safe consumption temperature.
I mean,
he's not a real doctor, but he seems awfully conscious of malpractice.
Dr. Potato is a hive mind.
Like all the eyes on a potato.
I want to go back to Ryan's like parsing of Idaho law because I really believe that Idaho law is mostly a series of ad hoc definitions built by miners who are debating these things, right? Like the good cup. The good cup belongs to Cookie and Cookie only. It is defined as the tin cup that belongs to the wagon. The wagon also belongs to Cookie. It does not belong to Sleepy Joe. It does not belong to One-Eyed Fred. None of these things shall be considered the good cup. All those in favor, the mining camp / Idaho, say aye.
Is that a website? That's the Idaho government page. Just a page.
It is.
Not a site, just a page.
Yeah, there's just all kinds.
If it's Monday, call Larry.
It's just got the GeoCities under construction GIF on it.
A guy in Moscow named Doug built this.
A Doug is defined as the son of a bitch who owes me $5.
He may not have the good cup, ever.
No, the good cup is defined as cookies. Reminder, belongs to the cart.
Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Jason Kirk, by Ryan Nanny, by Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos, we have Michael Serber.
Damn.
Today,
why haven't you just been doing it that way the whole time if your whole goal was to not forget anyone? Man? Like, are you telling me you just now stumbled upon that simple? Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not very smart, Ryan.
I think the advantage of this method is the listener, the newcomer, doesn't know which voice is which.
Correct.
Keep them guessing. Misdirection.
I'm Michael Serber. Sorry, Serber.
Did I tell y'all about the time my mom listened to the podcast and confused me and Ryan? Like, it's not just the meaner listeners. Everybody does it.
And she's your mom.
And I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
Did you change?
Did I get stuck with myself?
You did.
Shit. Yeah. That's the worst.
No, you can be me.
No, that means you're the most psychologically healthy of all
of us. And Server, you're Jason.
I'm right.
I'm Shadow Jason Kirk.
Does one of you want to be Betty?
You could be the Metal Gear Jason Kirk. You could be Punished Jason.
Oh, Jason, you're fine.
Yeah, hell yes. Fuck yes. I'm
Liquid Jason. Liquid
Ocelot Jason.
I'm Boss, not to be confused with Big Boss. Not to you're be confused with the other character named Boss.
Or the Boss.
No, Jason is Liquid Death Heaven.
So, we have arrived at that time
40
of year.
40 for 40!
That is our very...
Woo! We made it! We made it to sort 40 for 40!
Technically, that's true.
This is our annual series of bowl previews where we really get into things. We take every single bowl and we do a good hour and a half to 2 hours on each bowl. We really dive in, break down the X's and O's, go through the rosters, follow up with who's going to be there,
give you up-to-date information. You actually had me going for a minute.
We're not doing any of that shit.
You had me for a second because it would be just like you to decide that this is what we have always done.
I meant to say that it's what we're doing.
Ow!
We're absolutely going as in-depth as possible on every single bowl.
The dog is in the show today because this is just what she wants. Because
they all matter and they're all important. Which is
tradition.
Tradition.
History.
So, the way this works is we are going to go chronologically through the bowl games of this postseason. We're going to talk about each bowl game as much or as little as, let's not say as much or as little as the bowl deserves, because there are some shit games we really love, and there are probably some good games. Good has many definitions here that we just don't care about. This year's format, we're going to kind of pay homage to the fact that we have a lot of new listeners coming in this year via our friends at Meadowlark, via our friends in the Levitard Extended Universe. And every comic book is somebody's first comic book, as our supervisor, Stephen Godfrey, would say.
Oh, God.
And it's... it's Christmas time, and at Christmas time we tell stories old and new. So what we're going to feed you today is a mix of ancient lore of some of these games that you may have heard before, and some new facts, because there's always a spray of random municipal Alabama Stadium come lately bowl games, especially in this early sequence. And then after dispensing with the bowl lore for the game in question, we may or may not talk a little football about the teams involved. Again, depending on when we feel like it. Who else are you going to find to preview every bowl game? You know, take that shit to Split Zone Duo, if that is your preference. Although they are largely an NFL concern. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it.
40 for 40. Game 1. Volume 1. The Bahamas Bowl.
Yes, sir.
Miami of Ohio versus UAB. First of all, UAB struggling back from the precipice of death 5 or 6 or 7 times, could not be killed by the board of trustees that controls it. Lost its coach. Lost the coach who was responsible for doing a huge amount of that dragging earlier this year. I didn't say lost. You know, he retired for health reasons. Bill Clark, we miss you. And UAB gets to go to the Bahamas Bowl. And I think that is awesome for those players. I love this for them.
Is this why Trent Dilfer took this job?
To go back to the hopes of making a return.
Because it was just, I take this job, free Bahamas trip.
100%.
100% of the time I've been aware of UAB, they've gone to the Bahamas Bowl.
This still does not explain why UAB hired Trent Dilfer, but we're going to worry about that next time. Okay. So most famously, this is the bowl where we sent Roger Sherman that one time.
Mm-hmm. When it was the Popeyes Bowl?
The Bahamas Bowl has had a uniquely variegated, let's say, series of sponsors. It was sponsored by Popeyes. It was sponsored more famously by a lone town in Illinois. It cheekily currently bills itself as college football's longest-running international bowl game. That is 7 years.
Take shit to eat shit, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my the trophy is a standout trophy. It features a big-ass conch shell and laser-cut palm trees. And if that aesthetic is making your antenna twitch, Ryan, yeah, that trophy was made in Tampa. True fact.
Craftsmanship.
Bahamas Bowl is an ESPN bowl, as are of what feels like a couple dozen of the other minor to moderate bowl games. And this has been good and bad over the years. It makes the experience somewhat easier to navigate as you are, you know, going through all of these websites looking for fun events to promote. But in terms of the regionality and the specificity of each bowl, which is, you know, the thing that we love about college football, it has kind of machined all of these things down. Like, if you go into, for example, the fan shops for these beginner bowls, you used to be able to find all manner of, like, weird random shit specific to the bowl. This year, for the first time, after several years of, oh, it's the ESPN shop, so you can get you might be able to find a commemorative football, and that's probably it, aside from the t-shirt and the hat. ESPN has added two new items to its own bowls this year that feel like they're very specific to the Bahamas Bowl, but actually appear to be available for all ESPN-owned bowls. First of all, they're selling slides. You can buy sandals. You can buy Bahamas Bowl sandals that, I'm quoting from the copy here, are purposely designed for recovery and durability. These slides will become your daily footwear. I believe it.
Medicinal slides.
Medicinal slides, yeah.
That sounds like a curse.
It sounds like they support immune health. It
sounds like they make your feet smell like hazel.
Witch hazel?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, maybe they're infused with clove oil.
Dude, if your feet feel like they're like slightly burning all day long, what a sensation. What keeps you going? The sensation of flames on my feet.
That means the slides are working.
No, I'm just like, what is more Miami, Ohio than smoking a clove on the beach in Bahamas in December?
Think of it as a foot lozenge.
So the second thing is, and I was really confused until I got a close-up look at this, the limited edition Vibe Tumbler. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not just a steel cup. It has a screw-offable Bluetooth speaker on the bottom of the cup that is, and I'm quoting here, capable of handling being dropped in the lake.
No.
Which...
No, hold on. Time out.
First of all, we don't need that.
Is the definite article there, like... a legal trick where it's like, we didn't say any lake.
I think it's the lake. I actually, you know what? I took a charitable reading of this. It is that mm-hmm. time of year. And despite there being, I'm not up on famous lakes of the Bahamas, but yeah. I rather think this is more of ESPN knowing their audience.
On the other hand, you don't go to the Bahamas to go to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are basically telling me the ocean will eat this shit alive.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like you, so don't go in there. Also, the whole thing floats.
What is Bluetooth powered on this thing?
The speaker.
The speaker.
Oh, okay, got it.
Bottom of the cup is a speaker, so you can listen to Beach Jeans.
It's really hard to picture this. Let me send you guys what this actually looks like. Also, it's only $39.99.
Oh, so you know it's a good speaker. You know it's fucking pristine sound.
Here, look at this thing.
Like, yeah, I threw out all my vinyl because I found that the limited edition Vibe Tumbler was actually the most crystal sound.
This is my Bahamas Bowl cup.
Yeah.
Also,
this is what the Stones wanted it to sound like, so I only listened to it.
Actually, that may be true.
This to David Lynch.
That really.
I just wish that I could send this to David Lynch and tell him, "Hey, man, I love Twin Peaks," and just show him the Vibes Tumbler.
Keith Richards wanted me to listen to all of this through the lake.
Listen, so. I actually think the Vibe Tumbler was probably what Blink 182 was meant to be heard on.
Oh shit!
Right?
Hey, you can leave reviews for this thing, and it doesn't even require an email address.
I think, Spencer, it's that and 311. Those are the only two bands that this drummer will play.
That sounds amazing out of this.
I'm getting nothing but Sublime here.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
It says limited edition.
Maybe y'all were wondering whether Trent Dilfer was going to be
Do
there
we
for
have
the
to
Bahamas.
Talk about depressing shit?
Yes, because there's one quote I want to get. He told 1819 News in Alabama the following.
He told what?
1819 News. It's a local site.
Okay.
I am going to be in Bahamas for the bowl game, Dilfer said. I plan on serving Coach Vincent and the staff any way I can. I mean that. He is the head coach. I'm here to support him in the transition, to serve these young men and serve the staff. I'm not joking. If they send me on coffee runs, I'll go on coffee runs. Thomas Robinson Stadium is located near the University of the Bahamas in central Nassau, a 12-minute drive away. Down Bio Hill Road is a Starbucks at the Southwest Plaza. I implore everyone at UAB, send Trent Dilfer on coffee runs the entire time he is in the Bahamas Bowl.
Make him do it on a Segway, like Joe Bluth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or I was just thinking about giving him the golf cart that only has three wheels because those tip over really easily.
The rental bicycle that you get, like the 400-pound.
Trent Dilfer in a pedicab.
Yes.
Pedicab.
Trent Dilfer pedicab.
UAB staffers, we know you're listening to this show. Y'all love us. Do it.
Just Dilfer being like, I don't understand how this furthers the purpose of the team. Just ride in the pedicab. Just do it. Go pick up passengers.
It will be the most useful thing he does during his tenure at UAB.
Side quest Trent Dilfer the entire time. Side quest the shit out of him.
Fetch quest.
Yes.
That is all the lore that I have to dispense for UAB versus Miami of Ohio. Would anyone like to discuss football?
I would like to appreciate one thing about this bowl in particular. So normally, bowl selection season is, especially for these early bowls, is like kind of a mixed bag where you're sort of like, all right, these are frequently the bowls that are getting like last pick, or they're sort of just stuck with whoever their limited tie-in is, whatever. But the way things worked out this season, we knew exactly which MAC team was going to be in the Bahamas Bowl because Miami of Ohio and Ball State played each other for their last regular season game. They were both 5-6. Like, the Bahamas Bowl showed up and was like, the winner of this game is going to the Bahamas. Miami won that game 18-17, despite being down entering the fourth quarter 17-6.
True.
And, like, it just fucking rules that for this very specific, very fun place to go game, We got two MAC teams and was just like, here's what's at stake. Go get it. And Miami of Ohio did.
Yeah, this is like, people fret a lot about the playoff exists, so no one's going to care about bowls anymore, which on a long enough timeline, yeah, that's true. But this is how you make bowls matter forever. Mm-hmm. Just declare. Like, who gives a fuck what their records are? Just say, last week of the season, every game there is a bowl at stake. Let's just do that.
This could produce intrigue in both directions. Like, what if you get a Camellia Bowl rep? It's like, winner gets to spend Christmas in Montgomery, and then you get to watch teams try and tank.
Here's what you do. You bring two bowls to a game where you're like, all right, this is the tipping point. The winner gets to go to L.A., gets to go to the L.A. Bowl. The loser, Detroit. you pull some shit like that, and you just sort of like, we make it very clear what second place is a set of steak knives.
So,
which probably exceed the value of bowl gifts that players are legally allowed to receive.
It's two steak knives. Is that wait? I have a quick question. In the NIL era, is that still a limitation that you can only get like a $50 gift card? Is that still the shit we're going
to
do?
Could it be the sign this form to endorse the Bahamas Bowl?
Right.
Sign it. Suddenly you get.
If there has been a change to those limits, I have not seen it in my research thus far.
Yeah, or expired crypto, because this is the Bahamas.
Yeah, a smart bowl would say the winning team will receive NIL deals from us.
Even if you just say it just for a week, you know, just like that's it, and that way we can give you. But that's hilarious to me that we're going to be no.
These rules are already easily circumventable because so many of these games now do the gift suite where it's like, okay, pick out $500 worth of stuff. Wank.
Right.
You could probably just go rob whatever's left at Sam Bankman-Fried's house.
Oh shit! It's
right.
There's not much. I don't think there's that much.
No, I don't think there. I don't think there ever was that much.
Did y'all see the thing where it said the dude may have accidentally ingested up to 3,000 shrimp?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the point in which I wish I had paid closer attention to this story.
And honestly, that's the most like Bull Week thing he did. Like that. If you took that story and you said Arkansas lineman entering game realizes over the past 4 days he accidentally ate like a small sea's worth of yes, absolutely.
That's
like a
when
whale.
When you accidentally eat, yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. That's how you know you're a whale, when you have accidentally.
Whoops.
Is that like a some sort of supplement thing where he's like, I didn't know this had shrimp in it, and then I discovered it had shrimp in it after I'd taken it for a year.
I think that's roughly what it was, Jason. Is that he was like he had like a chef or a kitchen or something, and he was like, oh, I fucking love this, and then it turned out it was just not very vegan. Sorry.
I would also point out there is one actual football thing. I have seen no news whether he is going to be participating in the bowl game since he is in his third year of eligibility. But
I thought you were going to say since he is in his 30s, which
since
is
he's in his 30s.
Pretty close.
He may be, but if he is in his 30s, then he's making the most of his last window of athletic potential, because UAB Blazers running back Dwayne McBride, that is your national leader in rushing yards with 1,713 yards this year. Are there people on Twitter who legitimately believe that he should have been a Heisman candidate? Yes. Are they all from Birmingham and have bowling alleys in their bio? Yeah, all of them. So, you know, you can watch him. He's pretty cool.
So they've lived in ways we can't even possibly imagine.
I can't take you seriously if you don't have Dwayne McBride on your Heisman ballot.
Here's what I know. Dwayne McBride ran for 120 yards and 3 touchdowns on 12 carries against MTSU. MTSU beat the shit out of Miami. Miami was competitive against Texas A&M. Therefore, we're talking about an SEC caliber player here. And yes, he should have been in the Heisman.
According to Nick Saban, a team that wins its last 3 games should be in the playoff. MTSU won its last 3 games against FBS teams, no less, unlike Alabama.
Wow.
Also, he did that in... he didn't play against Alabama A&M, so he did that in 11 games.
Oh, yeah, total. His yards per carry average is quite good.
7!
Yeah.
7. He doesn't even have that many attempts, really. Nope. Like, they didn't run him into the ground. Dude can go.
Yep. But you know what? I know you can't say it yet. I know he's not on your ballot.
I can tell you he is not on my ballot.
You piece of shit.
Absolutely.
For this award.
I can't take me seriously.
And I don't.
Well, you don't watch the games.
So. And I don't.
I don't watch the games.
You know who was on a lot of Heisman ballots, though? Mm. It would be Stetson Bennett from Georgia.
Amanda Mull, when you hear this, let us know if this gets us off the hook for all of last year's hateration, because we clearly powered this into being.
Stetson, I mean, I've been a dog all year. I've been good to go all year. I don't know.
By
about
we,
y'all.
I mean Jason. Yeah.
I want to put this out there. If Stetson Bennett actually in real life owns a Kia dealership or gets his name on a Kia dealership, I will buy a car from him.
Wow.
I will buy.
I hope you show up and he says, get out. I don't have your business.
You're going to have to get in fucking line.
It ain't funny, bitch. Don't laugh at my dreams.
Okay.
You're going to be on a waiting list for like 10 years.
Yeah.
For the chance to do business with the greatest Georgia Bulldog of all time.
That is correct.
I think generally news of this week will confirm Stetson Bennett as the greatest. There's two pieces of news that hand in hand.
Participate in the Heisman ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Apologies to Frank Sinkwich, I guess. Fuck him. Sorry.
He played when the helmets was soft. They don't
count. Is it Cure Bowl time?
The Cure Bowl! Troy versus UTSA.
What a good ass game this is going
to
be.
This is a rocking fucking game. Day one of bowl season is not guaranteed to produce a goddamn thing. This is a great bowl.
Holly, you have lore.
I have lore. First of all, this game has been moved to the Orlando MLS Stadium. In a million years, could the three of you come up with the made-up word? This is one of the modern trends of... We've moved away from the cutesiness of, you know, the Micron PC Bowl and the GoDaddy.com Bowl. And bowls these days are sponsored by an ever-changing list of holding companies and investment banks. And For $1 million, can any of you come up with the avatar ass word that currently names the Orlando MLS stadium?
I'm gonna excuse myself here because I do know the answer, but
it is a made up word, right?
Yes.
Spencer.
True fluency.
That's really close. Jason, you want to try one?
Unobtainium.
Okay. Server?
I've just been trying to find the sound effect, so I just figured I would just play that, because I don't know what you asked.
Okay, that's cool. That's very in keeping with the spirit of the day. The answer, folks, is the Exploria Stadium.
Yeah,
of course.
The Duluth, and excuse me, this is also sponsored by Duluth Trading I don't know if this is the first year, I forget. Anyway, the past 2 years have been a really weird year of 40 for 40 and not 40 for 40 due to COVID-related events. And we're going to start right back with the opening statement of the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl, which says, "The bowl will feature the unique amenities and entertainment associated with Orlando, Florida, the vacation capital of the world." They don't say the Europe of Ohio, but you know they feel it.
Mm-hmm.
"Since the turn of the century, people have made their way to this paradise to relax, have fun, and
Which century?
Unclear.
I think it's like a rolling century, so since 1922.
Right. People have made their way to this paradise to relax, have fun, and revive their spirit." Okay, I'm done making fun of the Cure Bowl because, A, not only is it a great game, B, with a minimum annual guaranteed donation of $150,000 to BCRF, which is the actual good breast cancer research charity, a minimum guaranteed donation of $150,000. Instead, in 8 years, they have raised close to $4 million for cancer research. And this year, this is a cool special year. In addition to giving money just to like the general BCRF fund, one of the doctors receiving an individual grant from the game this year is Dr. Annette Khaled, who is the head of the Division of Cancer Research and a professor at the College of Medicine at UCF. This includes a sentence that doesn't make fun of UCF in any way, and I know that's weird, but just go with me here. Also, there's a cure village at the stadium, the fan village experience. You can get mammograms and other screenings on game day. This is awesome. This isn't a joke, except that it kind of is. I would love to see this energy for prostate screenings devoted to some other game like the Fenway Bowl.
I think that's what the Duluth Trading part is for. It's like you put some really nice underwear on it.
Hey, fellas, we're all friends here. Let's get this up your pooper.
Welcome to Boston. Here's a finger in your butt. But it's for a good purpose this time.
Anyway. Talk about Duncan.
More like America runs out of Duncan. Anyway, let's talk about we don't like to make fun of the Cure Bowl because it raises a shit ton of money for an actual wonderful charitable organization, a scientific research organization, and again, as we've mentioned earlier, it's going to be a banging game. Let's talk about football. Troy is a good team. How did that happen? Where were we?
Both these teams are... the winner is definitely going to finish... I mean, neither of them have ever finished ranked. The winner's going to finish around, like, number 20. That's pretty great. That's pretty awesome. They both come in hot. Troy has won every game since week 3. UTSA was, I think... the team with the most distance between the rest of its conference and itself, like the team that most definitively won its conference this year. So this is definitely a game for like second place among the non-power teams, I think.
Troy is also a fascinating team because they have won games this year where they scored 16, 17, 10, and 10 points. They have a 10-9 win over Army, which is extremely throwback shit. But then they ended the year scoring 34, 48, and 45. So, like, sure.
They're containing multitudes.
They do contain multitudes.
I think they definitely, that he is a limb off of the Mark Stoops coaching tree.
John Sumrall, yeah.
Yeah, so it definitely contains, I think they as a team definitely contain strains of, what we'd like to do is we'd like to win 17-10 every game. But shit, we're not good enough to do that because sometimes we got to go 48-30. right? Like, that's... And I love that when they're like, we're going to play a hard nose game. Oh, shit, it's out of control already. All right, go, throw, throw, pass.
Yeah. It's like the inverse of Mark Stoops showing up in, at Kentucky, like, the air raid's back when you're in. Fuck the air raid. Like, it's just do whatever works. That's the mindset here.
Yeah, it's great. Troy has a quarterback named Gunnar Watson. Gunnar Watson.
And I didn't. I'm gonna do a Kirshner style backtrack here a minute ago because I feel kind of bad. I didn't want to sound like I was mocking Troy. You know, UTSA. We have been following with interest since their murdering run began last season. But I did not see Troy turning around this fast in this fashion. From being one of the worst teams in FBS football just a couple short years ago.
Yeah, and not to
this
take
is really impressive turnaround there.
Yeah, yeah. Like John Sumrall's eventually going places, right? Probably sooner
Kentucky,
rather than
probably
later.
Kentucky at some point.
Once Mark takes the Oklahoma.
Shit. Yes. Oh, I think that like the if you're looking at does your school have a successor out there, this is probably Kentucky's, right?
It's probably Kentucky's built-in, yeah. Provide, but they might miss the window because
they might miss the window. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sorry, Holly. What were you? Oh, shitting.
Server, play the music. I completely forgot to tell you the third piece of information that I got from drinks last night. Which nobody. No.
Did you sound the divorce bell? Oh, boy, the divorce
is that like
here.
Ladies start your engines?
No, listen, kind of because.
We gotta cut that.
No, I know we're gonna cut this, but I wanted to tell y'all. Well, I'll figure out some way to kind of gracefully work that in. But yeah, we got cut all this. I just wanted to tell you.
Gracefully cut that in?
Next bowl, quickly.
Real. Oh, hey! Ahoy!
Who got divorced now? Who's next?
All right,
Speaking of divorce.
Speaking of divorce.
Oh, wait, who's going to sponsor our divorce? Hey, who's going to sponsor our divorce bells? We need a sponsor.
Ashley Madison.
Canned champagne.
Recently mentioned in the Supreme Court by
Jesus
the comedian
Christ, that was
in chief.
Such a who wrote that burn? He didn't write that. Let's see. The John Roberts divorce bells are signaling that it's time to move on to the aforementioned Fenway Bowl, currently not featuring prostate exams, but you never know because this bowl has never been played.
Yes, but this...
Fortunately, there is no Boston sports curse, and I originally planned when we were plotting out 40 for 40 in our long, long planning process, I thought that we could just joke about nothing good ever happening to sports in Boston. This game was invented in 2020, canceled in 2020 due to COVID, canceled again in 2021 due to COVID on UVA's side. They didn't have enough players to field a team. But this year is somehow weirder because the teams playing are Cincy and Louisville.
Can I just suggest this?
Go ahead.
And I am not the first. Remember in NCAA, you used to be able to sort of switch sides and play like all-time defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, right? Uh-huh. You just, you know, pause, switch the control over to the side, run the offense, switch, run it back, right?
I don't think they're going to go for that because then Cincy might realize what they're getting in Satterfield and call the whole thing off.
Too bad! Woo. Scott Satterfield coaches both teams. Just run, yeah, exactly. Just running back and forth across the field.
Louisville's going into this game like, no, come back.
Honestly, I think this shit is so good that like for anyone just now tuning in, we should take it from the top. Like Scott Satterfield has been trying to leave Louisville for years. Louisville
hilariously,
hits him for
obviously
this
trying
reason.
To leave Louisville.
Unfortunately, Satterfield is unable to get fired from Louisville because his team keeps like accidentally winning at the exact wrong moment. They end up going to a bowl game, which appeared unlikely, and they're stuck together for who knows how long until Cincinnati makes a baffling hire. Cincinnati, which has a track record of being able to actually hire really well, and now
except
has power conference bona fides,
except the one time,
a track record, not a perfect record. And they go and hire this guy that, like, one of their local rivals hates. And they're playing in a bowl game, no less. And they're in the Fenway Bowl, which means they're on the same sideline, no less.
See?
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
He should just go back and forth. He doesn't even have to cross the field.
It's a short walk. Yeah, this is in a baseball stadium. It's sponsored by Wasabi, but not the condiment. It's out of some internet thing. I don't know.
It's a real good thing, because otherwise you might have to have people in Boston exposed to exotic spices, and that never goes well.
Yeah. So, an 11 a.m. bowl game, that's, I'll tell you what, that's hard to get up for. Not this one.
No, unless they announce...
this is weird as shit.
Unless they announce Jeff Brohm in the middle, and he comes in, he's like, am I or am I not the coach of the Louisville Cardinals?
I don't understand that reference.
So...
Nope. Just keep going.
I can never tell. No, we're just going to keep going.
Just keep going.
I'm not
going
to do it.
Bells!
Yeah!
That's so much divorce.
The divorce barge is here.
Muppets Christmas Carol divorce bells have reminded us to move on to.
Like, send out your divorced.
Yeah. Get on the barge.
All right, folks, those are the Comcast divorce chimes, and they have reminded us that it is time to move on to the New Mexico Bowl. SMU versus BYU, a literal church fight. We love it every time this happens. The New Mexico Bowl trophy, all of you know, hopefully some of you will learn at home, is the best in all of college sports. It is a Native American clay pot that is made by a husband and wife team of artists from the Zia Pueblo. It features the Zia sun symbol, and they paint players on, like, you know, they paint players in their team colors on the side of it with, like, deer and mountain lion and buffalo and eagle. It's metal as hell. They hand coil and fire the pottery in their own home studio. And they also have another Zia Pueblo artist who handcrafts the outstanding offensive and defensive player awards. Traditional leather shields. Podcasting is a visual medium, but go look these up. They're really, really beautiful. Postseason college football action in Albuquerque actually dates back to 1980, when the D2 championship game was played at University Stadium under circumstances that I hope we've made famous via this series. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo played Eastern Illinois in the 1980 D2 championship game, which was then called the Zia Bowl. It snowed in Albuquerque 2 days before the game, and it was unseasonably cold. The snow wouldn't melt. They brought in helicopters to hover over the field to dry them, and then painted the grass bright neon green. Are you listening, Sun Bowl? There are better ways to do this than pushing a folding table across your own field. SMU versus BYU, go.
Rhett Lashley has coached under an interesting collection of people. I'm looking through his resume here. He started out as a grad assistant at Houston Nutt, Arkansas. He then made the move to Gene Chizik, Auburn. A couple of stops later, he ended up back at Auburn. I think this is when Gus took over. He then had a brief aside at 2017 UConn, which, if I remember, I'm looking this up because my memory is wrong. Okay, that's Randy Edsall. Went his first stint at SMU. He was the offensive coordinator for, I want to say this is... Oh, that's Sonny Dykes. Okay, I thought it was June Jones, so it's better than that. And then he spent a little bit of time in Miami under Manny Diaz. So... this is also the man who was the backup quarterback to Matt Jones when he played at Arkansas. So, like, Rhett Lashley's seen some shit. Rhett Lashley's been in some bad meetings, is what I think my main takeaway is here.
I would point to SMU having what I regard as one of the funniest seasons on paper. If you look at the games that they won and or lost, championship pedigree. They did have a brush with playoff finalist TCU, where they were competitive but ultimately lost 42-34. That's good. That's, you know, like, hey, you're bumping up. They killed North Texas, but they also have had and they lost to Cincinnati. That's another quality loss. This is the point in the bowl schedule where we have to say a lot of quality losses on this record here. But they were also participants in the biggest ass whooping of the year by volume. The 77-63 game against Houston, where, if you'll remember, the SMU Mustangs scored 56 points in the first half. This is all my way of just reminding everyone, SMU scored 56 points in a half and still only won by 14.
Didn't need more. Didn't need more than that.
Yeah.
In this game, they're going up against the number 93 defense. So,
dude, it's gonna be good. It's less of a testament to their football skill and more to their conditioning that they scored 56 points. You're like, that's a bad defense. I'm like, that's a long way to run. They're very fit. Congratulations, SMU, on being very fit, if not really great at football.
And BYU is also the number 12 offense. This game is going to rule. If you like numbers, if you're one of those folks, here's the numbers bowl for you.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Next! The divorce barge 11. Has sailed
to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I was going to say 11 chimes represent.
Welcome to divorce Mecca.
11 chimes represent, correct, divorce Mecca, Los Angeles. This is the LA Bowl, which exists because they built a new stadium that's in Los Angeles and they have to put something in it. This is only the second time this game has ever been played, but it is title sponsored by Jimmy Kimmel, the person, and features two teams this year who probably genuinely think Jimmy Kimmel is Antifa. So that's fun.
Those two teams are
Wazoo and Fresno. Fireway fellas.
I am so jacked for this game. I am so jacked for this game because it's going to feature two of the most extra quarterbacks in all of these United States, Jaden Delora versus Jake Haener. If they both elect to play, that's always the thing, right? Like, maybe at the last second. But I will say this. I think the final destination for both of these guys is college football, so they're going to play in the bowl game. It's not like Jaden Delora is like, I don't know, I got to save up for the draft. Brother, every day is your last day if you're Jaden Delora as a college football player.
I think if there's one thing Jake Haener is going to do, it's play college football.
Oh, Jake Haener has massive Mid-South wrestling energy. If you watch him, like, he takes every hit like he's just gotten a kidney lacerated, right?
It's important that I point out that no, Spencer doesn't watch the game, so he's forgetting that Jaden Delora doesn't play at Wazoo. He plays in Arizona now.
Motherfucker! I'm so excited for Jaden Delora.
Keep
that
all of this in.
No, delete it. God damn it.
Well,
I can't have
the games.
In praise of Fresno State, which started the year 0-4 against FBS teams and then won the damn conference anyway. How
yes.
about that shit?
Yeah.
Jake Haener. Who does play for Fresno State.
That one you got.
Who tried not to, but does.
He did. That was the weirdest transfer rumor because it was like, oh, he's going to Washington. It's happening. And then he was like, I have always respected Fresno State. You're like, who got to him? Who in the Fresno Mafia?
Michael Penix got to him and said, this is my spot.
That's my
dare take it.
Gig I have always
Don't
wanted.
Fucking take it from me. Also, hey, like Wazoo, after an extremely stressful and frustrating year last year, just a normal football team. Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun to just be a normal football team with a coach who's not like filing weird fraudulent religious lawsuits against you?
After like four straight years of being coached by the weirdest guys in the world and not weird in particularly good ways, like just pretty regular.
Shouts out to Nick Rolovich for eventually having to enter stupid as his religion in court. That's what's gonna come up.
Does the Pac-12 have a like super bizarre coach at this? Like, who is? Oh wait, I forgot who Colorado just hired.
The new guy.
Never mind. Yeah. Never mind.
I'm coming.
We're fine.
Everything's fine.
Does Colorado have a coach with weird religious beliefs?
No. Nope.
Although, yeah. hang on to that weird coach thought for just another couple bowls, because we have there is a well of untapped potential in an upcoming game that we'll get back to.
God told me to come to this Arc'teryx store.
God continually supervises my business dealings. It's the thing he cares most about.
Holly, if I wanted to do an unauthorized adaptation of a Shel Silverstein book, which one would you recommend?
Give me a second through these bells to think of it.
Okay.
Folks, the Bad Boy Mowers Divorce Bells, proud sponsor of the Shutdown Fullcast, are taking us to the Lending Tree Bowl.
That's right.
Rice
the Giving Tree.
Southern Miss.
The Giving Tree is a lovely tale of sacrifice and helping the young, and the Lending Tree is all about making sure they pay interest. Motherfucker, we're not giving you shit.
So we mentioned earlier that there are a bunch of faintly depressing bowls that take place in random municipal stadiums throughout Alabama. Here's one. This is the one that's in Mobile. That means I get to suggest you adopt a dog. The American Black and Tan Coonhound Rescue Society, from which I procured our lovely hound Betty and several other Shutdown full hounds, has a regional headquarters in Mobile. They have a lot of freshly adoptable hounds of all types. You can check out their website at coonhoundrescue.org. If you're flailing about in your mind trying to figure out which one of the games this is the one that used to be the GoDaddy Bowl, just to orient you in history. Two weird other bits of history before we get to the actual game. The what's now called the Lending Tree Bowl contains both the highest scoring bowl game of all time, which is the 2001 game between Marshall and East Carolina, 64-61 in double overtime, which also included Marshall coming back from being down 38-8. A guy named Byron Leftwich threw for 576 yards in this game. No one ever heard from him again. And the 2008 iteration of this game also had what was at the time the largest margin of victory in bowl history, with Tulsa defeating Bowling Green 63-7. Football.
I also noticed that there's a beach day as one of the events for this, and I am not familiar enough.
No, you don't want that beach in December.
Do you want to be on the Mobile beach at 8:30 in the morning?
I love you, Mobile. This is not the time.
Got sober.
Okay. This is not the time. I wouldn't go. Let's see, Florida natives. Where would you? I don't think I would go in the water north of Boca in December. What about y'all?
That's my highest
latitude.
Well, I can't swim, so I'm not getting in the water anyway.
There is that.
It depends. Do I have my sweet Bluetooth mug cup?
If you had your Vibes tumbler before it's eaten by a salt crusted?
What if
Poseidon?
I build a small raft of Vibes tumblers and I'm just blaring Sublime up and down the Gulf Coast?
Okay. Okay.
Listen, after a long night at Mobile, you might not have a choice about getting in the water. It's going to be you and the ghost of Kenny Stabler out there surfing with the angels.
Kenny Stabler's not dead. He's frozen.
And floating in the encased in ice off the coast. He's used as a buoy. He loves it. If you want to see, I know very little about Rice. I will say this. Southern Miss.
It could go worse than the last time you tried to describe a football game.
Southern Miss. God's football. Do you want godly football? That's right. 94th in total offense. Barely scoring points. Still capable of doing things like, handing Tulane a 27-24 loss all the way back in September. I am imploring you, don't go back and look at how it happened. Normal football game, normal outcomes, definitely not a weird ending that was fluky. Nope. Southern Miss, Frank Gore Jr. is the anchor to that team.
Any relation to Frank Gore Sr.?
And weirdly, no. Totally different.
Yeah. So this year, Rice is our only 5-7 bowl team, which they achieved via academic whatever. Rice is one of the 20 worst teams in the country per the computers. That's very exciting stuff, and they are facing off against the Southern Miss that is 6-6. We've had a few 5-7 teams, but 5-7 versus 6-6, that's special stuff. Southern Miss is also not very good, even for a 6-6 team. So. By the math, this is one of the worst bowl games ever, which means it'll be entertaining.
It'll be great. I'm telling you, that's hater talk. Southern Miss, Will Hall says the word program.
He I said it's going to be entertaining. Ball.
Yes.
It's not hater talk. It's good.
I really
it's
do
the
like
nicest godly possible thing I could say.
Godly football.
I really do like when 5-7 teams make a bowl game because you get to be then you get the possibility of them going 5-8 and looking back and be like, fucking lose to Hawaii or what happened?
Yeah, this team's strengths include grades.
Yeah.
Their football strengths are doing homework.
Keys to the game. AP scores.
Next!
I don't know why you said that.
The divorce barge. Hello?
Seeking who it may devour.
Folks, it's the Wells Fargo divorce wagon bells reminding us that it's time to mosey on up north to the Las Vegas Bowl, featuring Oregon State and Florida. This is no longer sponsored by synthetic oil and lubricants in Royal Purple, which is a shame because we always had to remind people that Royal Purple makes lube for cars, not people. This game used to be a competition, a friendly off-field competition to see which coaches looked the most uncomfortable and which the most openly thrilled by being photographed next to showgirls in towering feather headdresses. BYU got this game a lot, and their coaching staff always provided tremendous fodder. So this is, as I was mentioning a little while back, Chris Smith, show us what you got in either direction. Here's your opportunity. You are currently occupying a Clay Helton-type headspace in that I'm pretty sure none of us could identify you by face if your life depended on it.
Wait, so, do you mean Jonathan Smith?
I was going to say.
Yeah,
I think, yep,
that guy.
I'm contagious.
Even more.
Everybody gets one.
Generic.
God damn it. I do his name wrong every time, and I'm like, surely he's not the Pocahontas guy. But no,
it's okay. This only proves your point.
I had like a 2-year stretch where I was convinced his name was Rick Adazio.
He's the bad boy of the Adazio family.
He just fucking looks like a Rick, if I'm being honest.
Rick Adazio is the only Adazio.
Oh, God, I even wrote it wrong in my notes. I wrote Chris Smith in my notes. Good
God. He's the only Adazio with hair. They'd be like, here comes Chris with all his hair.
I bet just walking around the facility, everyone calls him Chris, and he just hasn't corrected him.
He just lets it happen. He's Chris. He's Mark. He's Brian.
Hey, John. Dave. You guys can call me Smitty.
Rick Adazio.
Nah.
Yeah, that's a good one, Kevin.
Rick Adazio said, what's better than this? Dudes being guys.
For purposes of this show, can we just call him Matt Matthews? Because I can remember that.
I wish I was as cool as Rick Adazio.
Mark the date. It is December 6th, 2022. Spencer, how long are we going to go before the first Florida players in some sort of dumb ruckus, in some sort of dumb legal trouble in Las Vegas story?
What time is it?
I'm going to go a week.
I'm going to say 8 hours.
I'm going to go a week. So that puts us, I have dumb trouble. I mean, when are they going to get there? Probably a week before?
May I add a possibly mitigating in one direction or the other fact?
Yeah.
The team welcomes are at Terribles.
Okay, so.
And the opening night reception is at Fremont Street, which will feature an indoor-outdoor all-you-can-eat buffet.
I have it 18 hours of landing. Okay. So whenever they land, within 18 hours.
Why is it indoor?
6 hours of landing.
Why is it indoor-outdoor?
Okay, that's actually a great question. So if you've never been to Fremont Street, it is an... So picture like a not a mall, but like one of those outdoor shopping districts that has like streets on both sides.
Yep.
But over the street itself, I'm having a hard time describing this. There's like an atrium ceiling that goes over the outdoor streets, but it's a video screen.
So
like you look up and it's just like an arched video screen that goes like over the whole street. And it can make it look like it, like at Christmas, they make it look like it's snowing, all kinds of weird shit. But, you know, and also it enables tourists to be able to go there in August and not die.
Okay.
So, like, the thing is outdoors, but it's under this, like, giant video pavilion.
Okay.
Is the best way I can think of describing this. This is also the second year that this game is being played in the big, good Las Vegas stadium, not the old UNLV stadium, which is basically a glorified high school. And maybe the best argument for just calling it the Las Vegas Bowl forever, this is the most nondescript bowl title sponsor in a year replete with them. SRS distribution, whatever the fuck that is. Sure, the important thing is an Elvis impersonator has been promised slash threatened to greet the teams. They will be treated to a magic show, which also sounds like if anywhere Florida's going to get into trouble, I think it's going to be Friday night at the magic
this
show.
It's going to be the most earnest, like, honestly, 18-year-old football players at a magic show spark such joy for me because they're going to do shit. And like we'd be like, oh, that's fucking magic. And
18-year-old like, football players would be like,
oh, my God.
So,
a witch.
You know,
somebody's gonna run up the aisle like, oh my God!
You know my fondness for the motion picture franchise Now You See Me?
Yeah.
This magician's name is allegedly Matt Franco with one T. Oh, this is not a Now You See Me spinoff, I'm gonna be furious.
First of all, illusionist.
That's a Witsec name is what that is.
The village people are playing the fan fest. The Vegas Bowl is kind of slowly becoming.
Are the village people in that status now where it's like, yeah, there's one original and there's like one 27-year-old in
here.
I'm
going to look this up right now. Lineup. This is the longest band lineup. Actually, no, it's not as long as you'd think. Like the wiki list of like who's in what, they just change the groups a lot, but the membership is like shockingly consistent.
Contiguous. Interesting.
Yeah. For a band that's been around this long, one that often takes off their shirts, usually don't want too many old guys in that mix.
Yep.
One that does a lot of moving, usually people are going to age out of that, but like evidently they're all in incredible shape because they stick around for a long time.
There's one other possibility for Florida players, and we all agree it's going to be Florida players. Now, to be fair, Oregon did have a long ago legacy of getting into very specific trouble. There was that year that Oregon players were arrested for, in rapid succession, they had like drunken boating, drunken golf carting, and then
stole a sheep.
They stole a sheep that was being used for a research study on homosexuality in sheep. I don't know why I remember this, but that was like
I'm pretty sure
that was early EDSBS lore. There is one really great opportunity for players to get in trouble here. I am told by bowl officials that there will be some kind of talent show in after the all-you-can-eat buffet.
After the buffet.
Yeah. Huh. Players will showcase their talents off the field and on the stage. So, dance off? I don't know. We all know that there have been double team brawls caused by dance offs in the past, looking back at you, certain Beach Bowls. Who was it that fought Louisville after the belly flop contest?
I can't remember, but wasn't that there was a New Mexico Bowl that also featured some fisticuffs?
I'm thinking of one of the Florida games where they had a belly flop contest that caused a team wide brawl between both squads. And now I don't remember which one it is.
Southern Miss, it looks like.
That sounds right. Was it Southern Miss and Louisville?
Holly, you wrote this article on SBNation.com.
I know, that's why I can't remember.
In 2010. Here is the story. During the officially licensed Beach Bash, a dance contest turned ugly between Southern Miss and Louisville, and that canceled the belly flop event. They did not get to that as a result.
Yeah. No,
that,
belly of course, flop. Was at, no belly flops for you.
Fittingly, this was at a Beef O'Brady's Bowl.
Of course, looking at the Village People's wiki page, the interesting thing, you know, on most band wiki pages, it's broken down by like, here's the lineage of bass players, right?
Yep.
Here are the guitar players. Here's the
Is this by costume?
Yes. according to the wiki page, no one has ever filled multiple roles. It's always you are the biker.
We maintain the
that's
fiction.
That's all you do. Yeah. Yes. Then you pass the bike helmet to the next biker, right?
Well, if Gene Simmons just showed up one night and he's like, I'm the cat tonight. That's who I am.
No, there is no cat. Get out of here.
Right.
The lead singer, Victor Willis, who is a cop / sailor, he's the original founding member, and he's still around. This man has...
Hell yes.
This is the troupe I respect right
Wait,
here.
Wait, why is he cop / sailor?
Some of them have multiple roles. And when you're a lead singer, you got to wear a lot of hats, right?
When the if you get too rowdy on the divorce barge, you got to call the cop / sailor.
Sure.
And they come get you.
We're
by
back
the way,
to sponsored
by
cops.
Sponsored by SRS. I'm just going to say that stands for Shitty Retail Solutions. Like, hey, we got all these t-shirts. And they're like, why don't you just pile them up on a corner somewhere and dump them? There you go, SRS. That'll be $5,000. Here we go.
Just pollution is what they've invented.
I'd like to increase my business. Have you tried fraud? There you go. Boom. $5,000.
Have you tried throwing away all your stuff?
Yeah. Shitty retail solutions. Come to Vegas.
This is like a laundering company? Is that what you do?
Yeah, that's totally what it's going to be. Evidence They're like, yeah, you should disposal. Put all your stuff...
I mean, every business in Las Vegas is a laundering company if you think about
that's
it.
True. That's true.
Is this... Is this the farthest west Florida has played a game in maybe any of our lives? Because I know they played that one national championship in Arizona, but that's not as far west as Las Vegas is. I know they're playing Utah next year, I believe, on the road. But I can't remember the last time Florida went this far.
Let's see. What Florida's history
isn't
versus
Utah at least
USC.
In the mountain time zone? Because Vegas is Pacific.
Florida played in USC in 1983.
That's probably the most recent.
Yeah.
So that's not within any of our lifetimes except Spencer's.
Except Spencer.
Yeah.
Spencer
it was. It was a. I mean, it was an. Okay
how was
game.
The? How was that? The atmosphere that day as a member of the band.
A little disappointing, but we really did
it was
enjoy
a tie,
playing.
So yeah.
We played. We did enjoy playing Styx Sailing Away.
And the Village People. The Village,
and the village people,
were there
people
as well.
I didn't know you
they
were a village
great.
Person.
Here it is. I got it. Florida UCLA Hawaii Bowl in 1987.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay.
Excuse me. Aloha Bowl. There have been like 37 different Hawaii Bowls called different things, but they're all the Hawaii Bowl.
Next.
Divorce.
I hear that old divorce bar.
It's like a confusing Price is Right game.
Folks, the prices are always right at the Fresh Market, sponsor of the Divorce Chimes Shutdown Full Cast Bell Alert Extravaganza. It's time for the Frisco Bowl preview. Boise State versus North Texas. Looking forward to this game from a football perspective. And we're going to skip right to that because this is the game that stole the Miami Beach Bowl, the game that inaugurated itself with the Two Americas Bowl of Memphis and BYU. Boo! ESPN bought this game and moved it inland to Frisco. If you want to watch football in Frisco, there are perfectly good FCS playoffs happening.
My question about the canon for this game is, has Spencer been fired as North Texas's coach, or is now Spencer now even more? Has he solidified his
control?
He's
even more.
Did he just get... Have we done like a Dark Tower-type cycle, and has he just been hired?
So has the antipope become the pope, essentially?
Yes, I like that second.
Do you know what any of those words mean, Spencer?
No, but yes, that is exactly what has happened here. Unless we have an Avignon-type situation there's the false pope.
I don't want your French accent.
Coach,
how are you preparing your young men for to take on the Boise State Broncos, Coach?
It's going to be a physical game. We're a good program. And
He's got it, folks.
That's it.
I trust him.
We're just going to have to work on the fundamentals and on having a good time because, you know, you can't always go to the Top Golf as we do every day in Denton.
Why didn't Top Golf have a bowl?
Yeah, Top Golf's going to have a bowl. Don't worry.
People would want to play Top Golf at the bowl during the game. And then you have a choice of, like,
no,
are you pelting the field?
Yeah. We played a game at a fucking baseball stadium. We played it at Wrigley Field. You can't play a game during a Top Golf.
Yeah, but nobody wants it. Nobody wants to do it at Wrigley Field.
They got helmets on. Yeah.
Just Cole Kublik down there with a helmet on the sidelines.
Donk, donk, donk.
This is very painful.
Coach, do you feel it'll be advantageous for you playing this game in Frisco, which is, I don't know, it sounds like it's close to Denton. Is it? I don't know.
What is the distance between Frisco and...
I mean, Texas is big, so everything's relative, but...
Yeah, it's probably 17 hours,
it's probably a flight away.
The answer is 38 minutes.
It's actually next door, yeah.
38 minutes drive.
Yeah.
You could walk there in 7 hours.
Coach, will you have the boys walk there?
I think it's...
Coach, who is the best ever death metal band out of Frisco?
I'm going to say that's not Cannibal Corpse. But between Denton, Texas,
you
and
could
Frisco,
hike, you could. I mean, you have to hike around Louisville Lake, but
yeah. But this is. If you're going to get them ready, I'll just say this: nothing like a bowl game where you can sleep in your own bed, boys. Nothing like, you know, don't have to go far for the talent show. You can bring your own Nintendo Switch and hook it up to the TV here to show them how good you are at Super Smash Brothers. You know, there's a lot of advantages. You could bring your own snacks. Who doesn't love a bowl game where you can bring your own snacks, boys? And the lovely weather of North Texas. I, you know, always said there's one place that's cooler to be. It's in a place that's literally an ice maker in December. So we're very motivated for this, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, Frisco makes it sound like it's a warm weather game, and that part of Texas really could not be further from the truth at this time.
Yep. We can you can enjoy the native wildlife of North Texas at this time of year, which is overturned tractor trailers. Mm. Next!
Folks, even heartbreak feels better here, and that is the AMC movie theater's Divorce Bells heralding the arrival of the Myrtle Beach Bowl, Marshall versus UConn. Two things. Teal field game. Second thing, this is a newish game, and we have all had extensive experience in the area. I would like for the five of us to go around the horn and suggest our own bowl events. What would you suggest visitors to the fair shores of Conway, South Carolina, do in Myrtle Beach? Serber, would you like to go first?
There's so many things. Go to that Alabama bar that Alabama used to play at all the time when they were the house band down in Myrtle Beach. Go there, get something with nacho cheese on it, and go to that Ripley's Believe It or Not museum across the street.
How can any of us talk that?
I'm going with servers. That's it.
This bar is the Bowery, by the way, if it's the one I'm
thinking. I think it is. It's called the Bowery. There used to be a bunch of shit.
There are no other bars called
now.
The Bowery. This is the only one.
I have an alternate suggestion, which is if you're there, go to the Skywheel, which has the enclosed Ferris wheel cars.
And you can hotbox them.
That's what I was going to suggest, actually. Yeah. Yes. Like, because every high schooler's like, I'm going to hotbox the Skywheel. And they go up to the top and there's like, all crime is legal. Nobody can stop me on the Skywheel. I'm hotboxing this shit.
By the way,
in
that
little aquarium,
in the natural area right next to the Bowery, there you can buy so much weed right there.
Yeah, that's right.
Four to hotbox
the Skywheel challenge.
Yeah. Just stand there for like 5 minutes and
just you'll have looking up being like, yo, Coach Bora is high as fuck.
He's
Coach
so
is getting down.
I have a suggestion for an event brought on by a recent listen to Sirius XM radio. I find talking on my radio enraging, even if it's just a momentary. That's not what I pay for satellite radio for. And I was cruising past one of the Christmas stations yesterday. They were doing one of those cutesy little holiday call-ins where, tell us about your favorite Christmas moment. And I'm like, I'd literally rather die than hear about this. Just play Sleigh Ride. And for some, I was pulling into a store, and I didn't immediately flip the channel, and it gave me enough time to hear about this woman who called in and said her favorite Christmas memory was her husband winning her family's annual Christmas ornament making contest. They had a huge extended family, and when they first got married, her husband won the contest. He was marrying into a coastal family and was not himself of coastal extraction of any kind. And in order to endear himself to these people, he took five king crab legs, hollowed them out, covered them with glitter glue, and affixed them together to form a star that she said then topped her parents' Christmas tree for the next 40 years. I've never heard such a delightful concept in my life. I feel certain that this is already sold somewhere in Myrtle Beach, but I would suggest a crab leg construction contest. It doesn't have to be sanctioned. Just go to a buffet and start building your own Nemus sculptures.
I know most of the time what a coach would want to tell you in these situations is you need to try as hard as you can and make sure that you do the school proud. UConn, after everything you've been through, I hope you're all stinking drunk the entire time. Do absolutely nothing, have terrible practices, and lose this game by 35
no,
and all get
wrong,
new tattoos.
Wrong. Here's why. And this is the last thing I'll say because I forgot I have a thing I have to go to and then I have to jump.
You're going to miss the potato blog.
I'm sorry. I feel bad about that. But
I'm
going
to call you later and read all of this to you.
If UConn wins this game, they'll have a transitive victory over Alabama. Because they'll beat Marshall, who beat Notre Dame, who beat Clemson, who beat Florida State, who beat LSU, who beat Alabama.
I still say lose by 35.
You piece of shit.
Give Alabama a transitive loss by 35? Come on.
Yeah.
Next!
I want to note, first of all, Marshall did beat Notre Dame, in fact. And secondly, Byron, today I experienced the feeling of feeling bad for Jim Mora.
Are you which okay?
Which is a feeling that no one has ever felt before. Because the finalist list for one of the 10,000 different coaching awards came out, and Jim Mora was not on the list, despite turning UConn from a crater into a bowl team, which Sonny Dykes should be coach of the year. There's really no question about it. Jim Mora should be second.
Yeah, it's
that's it.
It's uncharted emotional territory. I know for you, especially as a Falcons proponent.
You know what his reward's going to be? We're gonna get him high.
A lot of weed.
Yeah, we're gonna get him high in the
Coach. We know you're a long time listener. Just hit us up. Let us know where you're staying. We'll call our weed guys.
All right, I'm gonna try it again. Next.
Folks, that thud hitting your doorstep is the Gannett Publishing Divorce Bell paper of record, informing us that the next game on our list is... Oh! We're pulling a switcheroo! The next game chronologically on our list is not the Boca Raton Bowl, but we didn't want to end on such a downer. And the Boca Raton Bowl invited Liberty. What for?
Yeah, Toledo should win this game.
Yeah, let's talk about Toledo football.
Toledo's awesome. I mean, they're not really awesome.
Well,
Toledo remains one of my favorite home games to attend, but this is not that.
Toledo had kind of an up and down year. I know they ended up
this
on the upside.
This is not one of the feistier Toledo squads that we've
they
seen.
Won their conference.
They let's won their conference. That. Let's celebrate that.
Yeah, we love them and we are on record as loving them. So don't add us. Nothing brings us more pain. This is a bad year for the Mac.
The Mac's always bad.
Not like this.
The Mac
pretty
has,
much.
I think what you
the Mac is almost always this bad. Yeah.
I think what you want to say is the Mac has parity. Excuse me. The Mac is a competitive.
The Mac is a parity. Yes.
Yes.
Y'all haters.
It's you bad. Try playing. You try playing in a driving sleet storm in September. On a Tuesday, it's not my fault you decide to play on weird non-poker nights. You just play on like a Tuesday.
Ohio and Toledo are arguably above average FBS teams. That's as far as I can go in praising the Mac.
That's what you got. That's about all we have to say about the Boca Raton Bowl.
Oh, folks, sometimes the sun goes down in June, and sometimes we save the best for last.
Next!
Folks, that is the Regal Cinemas divorce bell heralding a finer piece of entertainment than any we have seen thus far today. It is the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. It is sponsored by the Idaho Potato Commission. It pits Eastern Michigan and San Jose State against one another on the blue turf in Boise, Idaho. It remains the only college football bowl game that has chives in its logo. It has a trophy that is a giant glass bowl of potatoes as a bowl trophy. And it has the greatest piece of bowl adjacent entertainment year in, year out, over 10 years now. Welcome back to the Idaho Potato Commission's website, the Dr. Potato Blog. The Dr. Potato Blog has evolved since we started doing this beyond a mere advice column with close to 900 answered questions into an AI bot that you could ask questions about.
About potatoes.
The Idaho Potato Blog, Dr. Blog Potato Doctor is not an actual doctor, but a team of potato experts ready to answer all of your questions. There are videos this year. Our other favorite part of the Idaho Potato Commission website includes recipes for things that you really should not, by law of God or man, have potatoes in them. But by God, the Idaho Potato website is going to put potatoes in them. We also have the second annual this year, a contest for retailers, the Idaho Potato Lovers Display Contest, which rewards the winner. Last year, this was Kyle Pruitt of Food City in Lebanon, Virginia, with a what looks like a pretty flossy getaway. Last year's trip was a reward to the Camelback Mountain and Resort, which is the Fiesta Bowl Hotel, which is really good. This year, bringing us back full circle, the prize is a trip to the Bahamas. I'm going to read the copy directly. This came out today. Eagle, Idaho, December 6, 2022. The mythical island of Atlantis may have sunk beneath the sea forever, but its namesake Bahamas Resort will offer fun in the sun for the lucky random winner of the 2023 Idaho Potato Lovers Display Contest, sponsored by the Idaho Potato Commission. If you're a vendor of potatoes of any sort and you put up a good enough Idaho Potato Lovers Display, you can win 6 days and five nights in Atlantis. That sounds fun as hell. Y'all let us know how it goes. We're going to resurrect a feature from a different bowl that's no longer with us this year because there are enough new potato recipes since the last time we got to do this where I am going to give y'all a recipe quiz.
Ready.
If you've never played along with this before, we are listing three items. Two of them are real. One of them is fake. All of them are taken from the famous Idaho potato blog website. All right. I'm going to give each of you a question. Jason, please find the fake recipe.
I'm ready.
Potato crusted barbecue chicken wings. Mashed potato pops, like cake pops. Bacon Parmesan Idaho Potato Pave Squares. That's pave is in the style of diamond. Or Idaho Potato Plank Bruschetta.
I don't know what pave is, so I'm guessing that one.
That one is real. Pave is a style of diamond where it's like if you have those rings where the stone is set directly down into the metal, that's what's called a pave cut.
Ah.
These are little squares of potato that are basically put on skewers with bacon and cooked. And they're calling it potato pave squares because the creativity of these people is endless.
Uh-huh.
The fake recipe was the most innocuous one, actually, the potato crusted barbecue chicken wings. Although I bet you could probably do that.
Yeah, certainly.
Sounds plausible.
Serber, please spot the fake Idaho potato recipe.
Okay.
Is it? Oh. The Idaho Mountain Martini featuring a tiny spring potato on a skewer with an olive. The Mediterranean Idaho Potato Parmesan Hummus. The Heart Healthy Dropkick Idaho Potato Dip. Or the Deviled Eggs a la Idaho Potatoes.
I think it's deviled eggs a la Idaho potatoes. That doesn't seem like an Idaho thing.
Those are real. The martini is fake. They are asking you to mix mashed potatoes into your deviled egg filling.
I want to drink the potato juice.
All right.
That one seemed real to me. I don't know.
It seems normal to me.
Listen, you haven't, Server, you have not gotten coached up via long years of Beef O'Brady's menu bowl challenges, so it's understandable to experience a little disorientation.
Beef O'Brady's had one hell of a hot dog. Move on.
All right, let's go.
Really?
What was special about this hot dog?
It was like $1.50 for lunch.
Okay, that's a good part.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So $1.50 for the hot dog, and I think $1.50 for the draft beer. And Damn. 1 hour to be away from the fresh market where I worked across the street.
Damn.
That all added up to an A-plus hot dog experience.
I like that you...
What era was this?
How did it...
This was like 2010 to 2012-ish.
This is like 90s pricing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was ridiculous.
How did it taste, server? $1.50.
It was a beef dog. Beef dog.
Beef dog.
Regular old like Marita style bun. Nothing crazy. And I just got it with mustard. I think they had a chili. Didn't think that was the plan, though.
No, not before you're going to go back to work.
Yeah.
Chili's an extra 15 cents.
Yeah.
If you're, I'm not living that high on the hog.
$1.65 for a fucking hot dog. Yeah, it was great.
So when you were working at the Fresh Market, you would go back after having like a beer or two?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
I was the assistant manager, too, of that deli.
Yeah, you're goddamn right. You earned it after all the stress they put you through.
I have specific memories of, as the assistant manager, being over there with the deli manager, drinking a beer, watching the U.S. women's national team in the World Cup, eating a hot dog and drinking beer with him. So I felt like it was okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for your service.
Folks, we have one more question in the recipe quiz, and it goes to Spencer because Ryan's not here. Spencer, please spot the fake Idaho potato condiment.
Okay.
Is it brightening potato honey? Is it potato puff? Is it nourishing hand potatoes?
Ew.
Or is it the moisturizing potatoes with aloe?
I'm going to go with the nourishing hand potato.
Spencer, these are all trick questions. A brand new addition to the Idaho Potato Commission website is a section called Welcome to the Idaho Spud Spa, where they list a variety of recipes for spa treatments you can use that involve putting mashed potatoes on your face. The brightening potato honey face mask says there's no need to splurge on expensive chemical-laden masks from the drugstore. This creamy combination will give your skin a lovely glow while gently exfoliating and tightening pores. The potato puffy eyes treatment involves cutting up slices like you would a cucumber and putting them over your eyes. The nourishing potato hand mask literally just contains potatoes and olive oil. You make keto mashed potatoes and you stick your hands directly into them.
Okay.
I don't actually know if that's keto or not. And the moisturizing potato with aloe is a hair treatment that you are supposed to allow to sit on your head for an hour. I have never loved anything more, including all of my friends and most of my family, than I love the Idaho Potato Commission and its team of absolutely deranged creatives. Over to you, football.
Again, none of the football players, none of these coaches are going to Boise to have a bad time. So here's what I suggest. Eastern Michigan, you need to go ahead and max out the Boise experience. Go to the potato spa, put whatever body parts you want into the mashed potatoes, so to speak. And what I need you to do is I need you to really enjoy it, because I just, on a lark, said, Eastern Michigan is in this bowl. Huh. I wonder how long Chris Creighton's been at Eastern Michigan. Without looking, Jason, how long do you think Chris Creighton's been at Eastern Michigan?
Fucking while.
Listen, a year at Eastern Michigan is a fucking while.
Yeah.
Our man has been at the helm of the divorce barge in Eastern Michigan. He has been on watch for his 9th season this year. 9. The toughest human being in the world, the person who has the greatest immunity to poison, radiation, or any other stressors that the environment cares to introduce, might be Chris Creighton. Because not only has he gotten Eastern Michigan to 8 wins, which, by the way, is the best of his tenure, there is 8 wins, 5-3 in conference, and tied for first in the MAC West, and gotten them their best bowl game. He is on the verge of getting his first bowl victory, because he's 0-4 for bowls, y'all.
But I mean, and going to 4 bowls while EMU's coach, that alone is an incredible achievement. Winning one? Good Lord.
Like, this is God's strongest soldier. Okay.
He's already coached 106 games at Eastern Michigan. That'll, like, holy shit. That's the most of anyone. Only one other coach has more than 58. That's how long people typically last. There's only one other coach who's been there for more than 5 seasons. Like, almost every coach is there for 1 to 5 seasons, and that's it.
Yeah. 8-4, a fantastic job. 8-4 at Eastern Michigan is like going 23-2 at another college game. You go, there aren't that many games in a season. I know.
That's what you think.
Yeah, it's like winning 23 games in a single season anywhere else. Yeah,
I'm looking at Chris or EMU's 10 winningest seasons ever by win percentage. Chris Creighton has 4 of them. So
build the statue.
They should be their entire Hall of Fame.
I would make it, if I were Eastern Michigan's coach and I was the all-time winningest coach at Eastern Michigan, I would make them make me a half man, half eagle, right?
And when I say winningest seasons, I mean all their winning seasons. They've had 10 of them.
Goddamn.
out of 48 years in top-level football. What a hero. Also, they beat Arizona State this year, and San Jose State almost beat Auburn.
Close enough for me.
Yeah, I'll take it. SEC win for Eastern Michigan.
Go rapacious birds.
They'd eat the taters.